of these questions, somebody very plugged into it. It's TSN's Farhan Lalji joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Good afternoon. Well, good morning to you, Farhan. Thank you for joining us. And my open-ended, simple question is, where the heck are we right now between the CFL and the CFLPA?
Well, we're a whole lot of frustrated is where we are right now, right? Because for the last 2 days, there have been no discussions, informal or formal, back room or at the table. But I do expect there to be some communication today. I don't know that they're going to get back to the table in a big group formal way, just because you probably don't want to waste the additional time flying, you know, and now it's probably down to the short strokes. So I like I said, I do expect there to be some communication today, and whether or not there'll be movement, I don't know. I certainly am not expecting a deal today, but you know, I think that everybody understands that you can't waste a lot of time in this situation, because every day that's lost, we lose a game. You know, we're at that stage now, and they can't afford to be losing that kind of revenue.
Yeah, with the lost season and last year's partial schedule, how crucial is it for both the players and the teams to get a deal done as soon as possible?
I think it's crucial. You know, like I said, I mean, if you lose a game in this league, those margins matter to the owners big time. You know, even if it's a preseason game, right? Like the players get paid, you know, when the veterans get paid when they practice during preseason, but they don't necessarily get paid for preseason games. But certainly the owners are making revenue there, and all that matters, right? I mean, you lose a preseason game in a couple of days here on the 23rd, and it affects your TV deal, right? Like all of those things matter, so... I think they get it. I think there's frustration on both sides, and you know, who's going to blink? I don't know, but like I said, I do think there'll be some conversation between the two sides today, which is a good thing.
And Farhan, how much pressure do you think our mothership Bell puts on the situation? Because you know, the CFL, all the games are on TSN. It's fantastic content, you know, and content is king. How much pressure comes from top down from that regard?
I don't know that a ton has yet, but I do think it will, right? And I think it matters, right? TSN is the single biggest stakeholder outside of the owners in the league, and certainly the biggest revenue provider with that television deal. So I would expect them to get involved pretty quickly. You know, I know there's a large town hall today that all the CFL staff in the East are going to in Toronto at BMO Field, and you know, this is something they do every year where they just kind of kick off the season and let everybody on staff know what things are going to look like, and, you know, what new graphics package, new sponsor deals, like just all that stuff. And Randy Ambrosi's scheduled to be there. So yeah, I'm sure there's going to be some serious discussions.
What are the biggest hurdles in getting a deal done?
Well, first of all, it's the revenue sharing piece, right? Right now, the league only wants to put in specific areas into revenue sharing, which is similar to what was in the deal last time, right? They don't want to deviate from the last time. You know, they just basically cut and paste that part of the agreement. But the players are like, well, we didn't see a stitch of revenue at that time, and that was before COVID. So we would like to get things like Grey Cup and concessions and parking and what have you included in all of this, right? And we also want the statements to be audited. We can't get to that point where it's, you know, exact dollars in our pocket based on revenue sharing, and we've just got to take your word for it at that point, right? Like, I think that especially with the last week of negotiations and how that went, I think it put a lot of the distrust back into this agreement or back into the relationship between the two sides. So I think that's the single biggest item. And then after that, I think health and safety, as it relates to padded practices, I think that's part of it. And I think the term of the deal is part of it. I think that's less part of it if they can get the revenue sharing piece down. You know, I think if they're happy with the other two sides of it and the term, I don't think would be as big a stumbling block, but that is currently the third piece of the pie that's a problem right now. I think the ratio and the salary cap stuff, I think they're comfortable with where the deal sits there, regardless of any of the stuff you've seen in print. I think it's the other issues that are the bigger problems.
TSN's Farhan Lalji joining us here, and your colleague, and I think people know this. If you want the latest on this, you'd be following Dave Naylor and Farhan breaking this down. I know Dave laid it out the last couple of days on TSN.ca, some of the, you know, the bullet points here. And the ratio has always been a talking point here. And you say you think that maybe both sides are comfortable where they're at with that right now. And according to Dave's report here, where they're at is with the – you're going to bring back – and I say bring back because this used to exist in a different form years ago in the CFL, the nationalized American. But I think maybe people that are skeptical would say, well, we're opening up the door to eventually chiseling away at Canadians in the league and the ratio for starters here. You know, how do you view maybe bringing on board this nationalized American? And is there, you know, a bit of a risk as if you start there, where does it end?
Yeah, you know, I guess there's always a risk, and there always has been a risk, right? They went through this when the Ottawa team got put in, you know, an expansion, and can they sustain the ratio? And I got to be honest, I've always viewed myself as a proponent of a meaningful ratio, right? There are some people out there that think there shouldn't be one, and I'm not one of those. And I also think the starting Canadians matter. And I think the starters matter more than the entire roster of Canadians, as I see it, because I think the guys that are in the game all the time are the ones that fans want to see. And I think, you know, I didn't think they went as far as they needed to, right? I think they should have taken it a step further. But, you know, I know that the league wants maximum flexibility, whereas the, you know, the players want protection, right? But I also believe that an adjustment, while I'm a proponent of the ratio, people are going to say, well, you can't be both. Well, yes, I am. Right, I'm a proponent of a meaningful ratio. I want there to be starting Canadians. I also want there to be starting skill position Canadians. I don't want to decrease to the point where it's easy for teams to just make it linemen. I think they needed to go a step further and say you need to split them up on offense and defense, and you can only credit two Canadian offensive linemen. Right, I you know, you can use as many as you want, but you're only going to get credit on the ratio for two. That's what I would like to see. But I do think there needs to be a bit of an adjustment downward for a number of Canadians on a roster and starters. And I don't think this is wrong. I think going from 7 to 6 is not wrong. I wouldn't be bent out of shape if they went from 21 starters to 19. I think that I prepare for the draft every year, and I have a really good sense of the players that are being considered for the draft. And I think a downward adjustment, slight, is not inappropriate. You know, we are seeing players that aren't necessarily accomplished at their given level that are getting drafted and are getting opportunities. And I think that's problematic. There's a narrative out there that, Canadians have never been this good and we've never had as many good ones. Well, I think if you add one more word in there, it would put proper context and perspective around this, and that is available. Because when you factor in the number of Canadians that are in the NFL and when you factor in the number of Canadians that just don't want to play in this league, and they don't want to play in this league because of the dollars involved. And you saw this year, Madeline Riley left the Riders after a year after being drafted for a better job. When you saw Adam Mackert, who may or may not have been a Canadian in this league, right, but he was certainly being considered as the second-best running back available in the draft, chose to move on from football, right? So when you look at available, I think it puts a different context on it. And, so people aren't going to want to like hearing that. But, again, here's where the league really screwed up. They screwed up in their proposal of has zeros across the board. Zero Canadian starters. Zero salary cap increase. Zero, zero, zero on everything. And that was like their first offer, and it came so late in the game, it took everybody aback. If they had put the current offer on the table, maybe even a week earlier or 5 days earlier, we'd be in a different spot. But, I think when the ratio, if you're a fan and you're like, what, they said zero starters, you know, and everybody's aghast at that. And they should be. Right. But in terms of a slight tweak, which is what this is, I'm not offended by it at all.
Just to touch on the Canadians returning from the NFL point that you brought up with the league proposal with 3 years in the NFL, canceling out the rookie scale if they were to return to the CFL. Is that something that would help, or would you like to see it fewer than 3 years? Like if a star Canadian from NCAA plays 1 year in the NFL and then decides to come to the Canadian Football League, would it make sense to have that rookie scale kind of removed? Or do you think this 3-year proposal is something that will help attract those players?
Yeah, it just depends on what you define as play, right? Like, I don't think practice rosters should be if it was just one, like if you were in the NFL and on a roster for a year, I'm there. I'm with you. But if you're on a practice roster and you're just bouncing around and floating around, I'm not sure, right? But obviously those guys that are getting the opportunity are the best of the best, right? Anybody who gets a chance to be signed to go to training camp, anybody is going to prefer that to over playing in the CFL, right? So those guys are the best of the best. So, like, yeah, I think those are good things, right? The TJ Jones situation that happened, which ultimately we didn't really feel because of the lost season because of COVID. You know, this guy spent like 7 years floating around the NFL, and like he played in games, he caught passes, he was a legitimate NFL player. And now you come back and you say you've got to be part of the rookie scale, and only the Canadians have to, right? Whereas if you're an American, you get to come in as a free agent, you don't have to. Yeah, I thought it was a huge problem, and I think it's one of the things that we do need to adjust. And you know, it's not unlike what the league is currently doing for different categories of person that is eligible to be a Canadian, right? I mean, they're scraping every possible, bucket and criteria just to make more people eligible, right? Because they know the pool is thin. Like, you have to get every single person available, truly available, right? And so they do that. And why would you restrict it here on this end, right? So I get it. The union's the group that didn't necessarily want this because now it comes at the expense of existing players, right? And what that does to them in the league. But, yeah, it's the right thing to do for sure.
Farhan Lalji is joining us. And to that point, if Alex Singleton it was the eve of the draft, Farhan, you'd know this, right? When he was – you know what? He qualifies as a Canadian. He would have been with the Red Blacks. And then he ended up being qualified as a Canadian, and that's who ended up out west and has moved on to the NFL. But, you know, just maybe final point on this here as well. We all hope the best for Jesse Luketa, right? But let's say it didn't work out in next year. The biggest problem with that is it's not going to be, even if he doesn't catch on right away, he's going to have opportunities to go and be on practice rosters and what have you. The biggest problem I think the CFL has is, and you can't just magic wand this thing, the revenue is the revenue. You're not only competing against practice roster guys can make better livings playing, you know, not playing in the NFL, but just kind of hanging around. You're competing against workplaces, as you just pointed out. Guys will say, well, I've got my education. I came through school. I got this job offer. I can make as much money, maybe sometimes more, and I'm not putting my body through a car accident every week. And you know what? I love football, but I got to take this. I got to do that. And, you know, that's a kind of is what it is, isn't it, Farhan, that the CFL is going to be raising up the league minimum here and guys will gradually make more. But you're not just competing against other football situations. We can talk about the spring leagues that have fired up again here. You're just competing against life for some guys making these hard decisions early because the money just isn't there to justify it.
Yeah, totally. You know, like I've always felt that the CFL should be a minimum salary, $100,000 league, right? And these guys are professional athletes. They're not, the CFL naysayers look at it because of the salary. And they look at it and they say, you know, these guys are making less than 10% of what an NFL player makes. Therefore, their 10% is good. And they're not. The reality is they're 90 to 95% is good. But the perception is based on the salary. And I think if you could get it to minimum salary 100,000, I think it would completely change the perception on both sides of the border, right? Like, as far as Canadian fans are concerned, but also as far as American players are concerned, right? Because right now, an XFL or a USFL situation for those players is better because you're making similar money to the minimum, but it's in American funds and it's for, you know, really 60% of the season in terms of overall length. So, they need to find ways. And, you know, raising it 5,000 next year and then another 5,000 in 4 years is a nice idea, but like when you compare it to the cost of inflation, it's not a lot. It would be, to me, I would love to see this as a $100,000 minimum, but it's going to take some time to get there. You're right. You can't just wave a magic wand. I mean, even the salary cap increases are going to be incremental, right? $100,000 a year, which is not bad, right? But, I would love to see it where it's $6 million is the salary cap, but also at that point, $100,000 is the minimum salary, right? Like I'd love to see that happen. And yeah, that comes out of the middle class, but you know, you also put a quarterback cap on the deal and that might help get you the money that you need to suss it out once you get to $6 million on the cap.
How much does the community appearance, can that help towards that? Because is this something that was a part of the CBA before, or is this a new proposal? Because immediately when I see that, I think of like Sherrod Baltimore, for example, now calls Ottawa home and is at every 67s game and has his own camp and he's really embraced Ottawa. So is that 110,000 that each team will commit to community appearances? Is that brand new? Is that something that existed before at all?
Well, I got to be honest, I'm not sure it's existed in the CBA. I can't tell you that for sure. However, teams are doing it, right? I think everybody knows that the freebies aren't, you know, that doesn't happen often anymore. Most teams have sponsors associated with those appearances, and it doesn't have to be a lot, right? Like, you know, I know that here in BC, there are some small ones that are like, you know, you only get like $50 or $75 to make that appearance, but you still do it. Because you probably would have volunteered to do it anyway by going to, you know, some youth team's practice to go sign some autographs, right? So I do know that there is appearance fee money. It just hasn't been a lot, and I don't know that it's been in the CBA before and whether or not this is going to make it substantially more. I think it's just going to depend on the market, right? I think in Saskatchewan, that's always been a thing players have talked about. If you go there, you get big appearance fee money. Whereas, you know, in other markets where the game isn't as successful, you know, it might not be as big. So it might not affect a rider or a bomber, but it probably does make a difference to players in other franchises.
Last one from me, Farhan, and hopefully we get this resolved soon. They'll get together at some point. I think we all know that. It's a matter of when. Rule changes, though. How much do you think that is still kind of sitting there, substantial rule changes for the CFL?
Well, I think like if you're talking about four downs, I don't think we're going to be talking about that for a while. As far as product review and constantly wanting to tweak the product and making it a little better, yeah, I think that's going to be a regular thing, and I think it should be, right? And I think they went through a deeper process on it this year because, you know, think back to when the NHL lost a season, right? They came out of it with an attempt to have as new a game as possible, right? And open up the game as possible and find ways to, you know, open up the neutral zone and remove interference and clutching and grabbing and all of that kind of stuff. And ultimately, once you get used to it and are avoiding all the penalties, it helps the game. And I think that has to happen this year. And there's been a constant evolution of, you know, what constitutes pass interference and whether or not there's replay associated with it and illegal use of hands and all of those things to open up the passing game. And I think doing this with the hash marks is a good attempt. And I think they need to constantly look at tweaks and modifications to do that, right? So, you know, I applaud them for doing it. I was never a four-down proponent, but, you know, for me, it was never a, you know, you can't have four downs because that's too much like the NFL. Like, I don't care. Like, if it made the game better, give me five downs. I just don't think that four downs would have made the CFL game with the bigger field and 12 men and extra motion. I don't think that makes our game better, but I don't rail against it because it's not our game, if you understand what I'm saying, right? So
yeah.
I've always said that it shouldn't be sacred cows. I think you should look at everything, and I think they constantly will, but I don't think you're going to hear the four-down discussion for a while.
Our game is this. Get it back on the field here. Let's get a deal done, and then hopefully the next time we're speaking to you, Farhan, we'll be talking about the season getting underway, and away we go. Appreciate the insight and the update, and hope to do it again soon. Thanks for joining us.
Sounds good. Steve Grimm, thanks for having me.